All right. Good to have everybody with us today. Good to have all of you. If you have your Bibles, I hope you have. You don't go to war without a weapon, and you are in war, believe me.
Right.
Turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. Timothy, young Timothy. The apostle referred to him as his son in the faith. He wrote two letters to him. 2 Timothy 2:15. Father, bless the study of your word now. In thy name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
All right, now, what is the word of truth? It is a book that it took nearly 2,000 years, almost 2,000. The first book of the Old Testament dates all the way back to 1,900 B.C. We don't know when it was written. So when you hear people commonly refer to it took 1,500 years to write the Bible, that's a common thing, but that's not necessarily accurate. We don't know when Job was written. And if Job was written contemporaneously with Job, in other words, when he lived, then it was at 1900 B.C. The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, was finished about 90-95 A.D. So what do we got? We've got almost 2,000 years. So a book that took nearly 2,000 years to write, obviously by people who did not know each other, right? How easily it would be for this book to be so filled with contradictions, errors, just plain pagan blasphemy, but it's not.
Amen.
Well, the problem is, though, a young man goes to school today, he's not educated in the Bible. He knows nothing about the Bible. He doesn't understand that Western civilization, as you enjoy it right now, the way you enjoy Western civilization would not exist without the Bible. Now go check me out on that and see if I'm right or wrong. I had a lawyer tell me one time, he said that the practice of law is based upon Blackstone, who was a British barrister, lawyer in Britain, and it's based on Blackstone, who's based on the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament law. So the practice of law had its origins, as we understand it, in Western civilization. I'm not talking about Sharia law. I'm talking about the law as you understand it in the court of law, the Supreme Court with its justices, the three branches of government, the judicial, the legislative, and what's the other one? Who makes the laws? I mean, who's sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? The executive, exactly. And there's supposed to be checks and balances in that. When they established this nation, they thought it out carefully. And some even offered to make George Washington a king. Did you know that?
Yes.
They wanted to turn it into a monarchy. And to his great credit, because of his outstanding character, George Washington declined. Said this is going to be a republic governed by law.
That's right.
And of course they set up the branches of government to govern this republic. And a republic is, of course, by the nature of it, is governed by law. Now the scripture, the Bible says, the scripture is given by inspiration of God. In plainer words, it is theos neustos. It is God breathed. Breathe. As God breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul, so God breathes his words into holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Right? They did not just think this sounded good or this was their observation of their contemporary times, but they wrote, and many of them, the Bible said, wrote and did not understand the things that they wrote about. They desired to see my day and did not see it. So Scripture is God breathed. Theos is the Greek word for God. Neustos is the breathing. Theos neustos, God breathed, is inspired. Now, if you believe the Bible took nearly 2,000 years to write, and you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, then that gives it some credibility, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
That makes it a powerful book.
Yeah.
Really? If this is the Word of God, inspired of God, that took nearly 2,000 years to write, man's only been here about 6,000 years, so a third of his existence on earth, It took it to write. Then I want to know what that book says. Wouldn't you? So why wouldn't the educational system acquaint kids with the Bible? Because this is the foundation of education. Until it was changed by doing some of the rest of them when they moved in and brought in the secularism and all that. So, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth has divisions. It has divisions. And if we understand that correctly, we'll know that the Bible, therefore, is laid out not only as an inspired book to give us the revelation from God, inspired words, but it also lays out for us a pattern of the times. The times, one that follows another, that follows another, that follows another. And we understand it in that sense. The depths of the Scripture is unfathomable. There's no way. There's no way you can even begin to reach into what it's talking about. Now I'm going to read a quotation from the Bible for you. This is from the Holy Bible. This is the quotation. No question of it. It is a great mystery we worship. Revelation made in human nature. Justification won in the realm of the Spirit. A vision seen by angels. A mystery preached to the Gentiles. Christ in this world, accepted by faith. Christ on high, taken up into glory.
Yes.
This is quiet as it can be. Yeah, I'm glad you could make the connection. It doesn't sound anything like your 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, I use that as an illustration. Why do I use that as an illustration? To show you that there is a vast difference from one translation of the Bible to another. This is called the Knox Bible. The Knox Bible. This is a new translation. It's recently came out. But I want you to notice some of the glaring differences. No question of it. It is a great mystery we worship. All right? We worship the mystery. That's not what the Bible says. It says great is the mystery of godliness. All right? Now, notice it says revelation made in human nature. What does the Bible say? God was manifest in the flesh. You see how these things change? Well, now here's the reason for that. They change according to the culture. All right? Men have a constant tendency to want to change and rewrite the Bible to make it suitable to the way they want to live in their culture. Is that right? Absolutely. We don't live like they lived 100 years ago. We don't have anywhere near the hardships that the people had 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, for that matter. So people rewrite the Bible to make it accommodate their culture. And, of course, you've got a problem when you do that, because then you've attacked inspiration. All right. Now, just a few days ago, we had two bombers, that blew up a bunch of people up there in Boston, Massachusetts. And these are brothers from Chechnya. Or Chechnya, however you pronounce that. How many have any idea where Chechnya is located? Most of you probably seen it now. The news media showed you. When the former Soviet Republic broke up, it had 15 republics. And 15 that made up the Soviet Union. All right, when it broke up, this was one of the republics. But now this Republic of Chechnya has always been at odds with Mother Russia. Always been at odds. One of the main reasons that Chechnya has been at odds with Russia, one of the main reasons is a religious reason. It's a religious reason. Can anybody have any idea why it would be? What do you think would be the conflict? Russia is Orthodox. Russia is Eastern Orthodox. 1453, when Constantinople was overthrown by the Ottoman Empire, the eastern branch of the church suffered a great defeat. All right? What happened then? It caused all these nations about to pull in and begin to solidify their own churches, because they no longer had this great see sitting in Constantinople. So the Russian Empire, the Russian Federation, or the Russian Republic, is for the most part Orthodox. Now, remember this. I told you before. The Eastern Orthodox, which was stationed or located or centered in Constantinople, was started by Constantine. Constantine the Great, at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge, saw a sign in the heavens, which was a cross. And he was about to go up against Maxentius, I think his name was, something like that, one of the Roman generals fighting over control of the Roman Empire. He saw in the heavens a sign of a cross, and it said, "By this conquer." He took that as a revelation from God, that God was on his side, the God of the Jew, or the God of the Christian. The Christian, not the Jew, but the Christian. The God of the Christian was on his side. And so, therefore, he had his soldiers put a cross on their armor, their shield. They went into battle, won the battle, defeated Maxentius. And when they did, he became essentially the de facto ruler of the Roman Empire. He was an emperor. An empire is far more than just a country. An empire spreads its tentacles out. The largest empire that ever existed was the British Empire. And it was essentially the last one. And the British Empire under Queen Victoria back in the 1800s, they said this and said it time and again, that the sun never set on the British Empire. And so he went to battle, won the battle, and in 313 A.D., from the Edict of Milan, he essentially said that Christianity now is a safe, non-persecuted religion, and it became the religion of the state because he embraced it. And then in 325 A.D., at the Council of Nicaea, they set out to establish what faith should be, what you should believe as a Christian. All right? Now, this is long before Mohammed ever showed up. There was no Mohammed. There was no Muslim. There was no Islam. There was none of that. The crescent moon and all of that. The crescent moon existed, but the faith of it as it represented, none of that existed now. We're at 325 A.D. The eastern branch and the western branch of the Christian church at that time that made up the whole church, the western branch was located in Rome, Italy. The eastern branch was located in Constantinople. In 1050 A.D., they had a schism between the two of them. The eastern branch began to separate from the western branch over theological issues. And so that schism in 1050 A.D. Essentially, I guess, was the catalyst to cause the other countries that surrounded them to make this choice. They had to decide, am I going western or am I going eastern? And you can tell by their culture that a great deal of the Eastern Orthodox Church is spread out everywhere. It's all over the place. It's not as centralized as the Roman Catholic Church was there in Rome. Spread all over the place. You've got Armenian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Coptic in Egypt. You've got Syrian Orthodox, Orthodox everywhere. You can find them all over the place, Orthodox churches that were part of the Eastern branch of the Christian Church. But anyway, it all split, separated. In 1453, the Ottoman Empire fell. The Constantinople fell to the Ottoman Turks. And for 600 years, the Ottoman Turks essentially held sway and control of that eastern branch. Now, I know a lot of folks get bored with history, but that's, if you don't know history, you won't understand what's going on with these two guys up here that blew up all these people in Boston, Massachusetts. And kill them. Cold-blooded, premeditated murder. But anyway, essentially for a long time, that was the separation. Then in 600 and a little 600-something A.D., Mohammed started the Islam. Let's just put it that way. He started it. He was the prophet. And he received his transmission of truth from Gabriel, he says, an angel, and he wrote it out in the Quran. The Quran is the book of Islam, but he went further than the Quran, and there's a book in Islam called the Hadith. The Hadith is Muhammad's own commentary on the Quran. So what does that mean? Well, it means that they take the Hadith and they lay it down next to the Quran, and you've got the man who wrote the Quran, you've got his interpretation of it. You see what I mean? And so, within just a few years, after Islam was born, it had spread. An Islamic evangelist is quite a character. They've got evangelists, and I mean they're good ones. What do they carry? They carry a sword. They don't need anything else. They put the sword to your throat. You either convert to Islam or they'll cut your head off. It's that simple. Because the Quran separates the world into two simple classes. Those who believe and those who don't believe. The pagan, the infidel, or the believer. A Muslim is one who submits to Islam. That's what a Muslim is. He submits to it. When Muhammad died, then a vacuum was formed immediately. Who's going to take control? Who's going to run Islam? Who's going to be the main prophet when Muhammad died? And so they had some battles. But Muhammad's grandson would appear to anybody to be a legitimate successor, wouldn't you think? Well, at the Battle of Karbala, 680 A.D., the Battle of Karbala, his grandson was killed in battle. You can read different sources. Some say that he had 150 to 400 troops, and that the enemy had anywhere from 4,000 to 40,000. I don't know. It's hard to get the figure down right. But in any event, his grandson was killed in battle. But a schism took place. This is important. A schism took place that has never been rectified since then. At the Battle of Karbala, it was finished. The schism, the split, was sealed. It was sealed. And what's that schism? Those who follow Ali, the grandson of Muhammad, are Shia, or Shiite Muslims. Those who follow the other side are Sunni Muslims. Now, that's the basic branches. They even have breaks in Sufis, for example, is the mystical form of the Muslim. And there are others. And I'm certainly no expert on Islam. But they had two major breaks, two major camps, the Sunni Muslim, the Shia Muslim, or the Shiite Muslim. Iran, which is Persian and not Arab, the major dominant branch of Islam in Iran. Could anybody tell me what it is? You know what they call their main cleric in Iran? They call him an Ayatollah. You remember when Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini had been exiled to France, and the Shah of Iran that America supported, the Shah of Iran was overthrown. You remember when Jimmy Carter was the president? You remember the 400, 500, whatever many days that they took over the American embassy and held all of them captive? Well, all of that was relating to the Shah of Iran. The Shah of Iran was overthrown, and when he was overthrown, Khomeini, the Ayatollah, came back from France, and he came back into the country of Iran, and he's going to turn it back into a Shia, that's what they are, Shiite, Sharia law, all that goes along with it, and get rid of him, and they did. And since that time, that's what Iran has been. It has been dominated and run by Shiite Muslim clerics. And that's who's in there now. Basically, they teach that the difference between the Sunni and the Shia Muslim is that the Shia Muslim is more radical than the Sunni Muslim. By my observation experience, I really can't see that. But every year they'll meet at a mosque, and they'll flagellate themselves. They'll take this and they'll cut their back open, and the blood will flow everywhere. And they're doing it. They're doing it in recognition, remembrance, and honor of Ali, the grandson of Muhammad, that was killed in battle. They do that every year. It's like the Filipinos when they have themselves crucified every year around Easter time. You all know that, and maybe in other parts of the world too. I don't know. You've seen the flagellation? Well, that's a good indication that they're probably Shia. Yeah. But they do live together. You may have a Shia here and a Sunni over here. But when you have a whole state, then you've got a different situation altogether. Like in this country, you've got Shia Muslims and Sunni Muslims, no question about that, because there's so many of them. But you have so many in the sense that there are 1.2 or 1.4 billion Muslims in the world today. It is the second largest religion on earth, and it is growing by leaps and bounds. Islam is growing much faster than Christianity. And one of the reasons that it is growing faster than Christianity is because they have a lot of children. And if you want to know what Islam does to a nation, don't worry about the United States and don't really pay a whole lot of attention to England. Look at France. How many of you have seen on CBS, NBC, and ABC what's going over in France right now with those young people out in the street? You won't see it on these. You won't see it on these networks here. Just like you're not going to hear. You're not going to hear the truth. But what's going on in France right now? France is because a few decades ago, the Muslims began to move into France, and when they moved into France, they took over whole neighborhoods. And there are areas of France right now that the police tell the French, don't go there. You know, if you're a Frenchman, don't go there. Stay out of there. That they've essentially taken it over. And these young people, these French young people, their 20s and 30s, are out marching in the street and demonstrating. They want to go back to that revolution they had in the 1700s, egalitarian and one of the three principles of the French Revolution when they overthrew the monarchy. They want to go back to that. They want to get Islam out of the country. They're saying, look, we're not going to live like this. We're not going to live like this. We're sick and tired of political correctness. We're tired of your dictating to us how Frenchmen are going to live in our own country. And they have really rebelled against the government, the liberal French government, because of what's going on in France. In Bosnia-Herzegovina, Bosnia, the former Yugoslavia, and also in Chechnya. These are not Arabs. They're not Persian. As a matter of fact, Chechnya is right smack in the middle of the Caucasus, the Caucasus Mountains. That's where you get the term Caucasian. That's what you are, most of you in here today, probably Caucasian. That's where the term comes from. It is not natural. It was not their heritage. It's not what they were born into to begin with. To be a Muslim, they were converted. The Bosnians were converted by sword. The Chechnyans were converted by sword. This is why they're able. This is why there's been so much friction, especially in an area like that where you come in and you have these people that have been converted to Islam. And so what happens? Chechnya has been in a war with Russia because Russia is Eastern Orthodox. Chechnya is mostly Islamic. And Al-Qaeda has moved into Chechnya. And there's ample evidence of this. They moved into Chechnya because they wanted to get their support and another base for their terrorism. They've recruited in there. And that's exactly what's going on right now. Al-Qaeda, through Chechnya, is sending people over here and planting them in this country to continue their terrorism. That's what these two young men right here, one of them, his older brother, was a Muslim, 26 years old. Apparently, the way the news media says it, that he recruited his brother, his younger brother, into doing what he did. How many's ever heard of the Debka file? Folks, I would recommend that you read it. D-E-B-K-A, that's an Israeli intelligence service. Let me tell you a little something about intelligence, just a little bit that I've observed. Intelligence. The FBI is supposed to be the epitome of intelligence in this nation. All right? The FBI. They interviewed the older brother in 2010 because Russia had communicated and contacted the FBI. They said, you need to check this guy out. There's a problem with him. And so I don't know what all the communication went on there, but apparently they interviewed him. Now, if you were the FBI, would you do more than interview?
Yes.
You certainly would. But in any event, they interviewed him and found no reason to pursue it any further and dropped the case. But Debka is the Israeli intelligence, is connected with the Israeli intelligence, and these people are on a matter of survival every day of their life. They've got to get it right. Read what they say about these two. They're saying that they're double agents. How many's ever heard that? They're saying that there could be double agents recruited by the U.S. to infiltrate what's going on over there, and then find out that over there they have recruited them to come back over here. And so maybe so. I don't know. All I know is what Will Rogers knew. I read the newspapers, and that's all I know. What you read in the papers, you know. Don't know anything. All I know is what I see on the news media. But the bottom line is something's going on. Don't you think? When they come out and the latest news is that they suspect a cell in this country that has as many as 12 in it that could be connected with these two murders. And they call it radicalization. They radicalize them. What does that mean? That's a created term. What do you mean, created, preacher? Well, all of these Muslims that live in peace were living in peace in Armenia. In Armenian Orthodox is one of the oldest Orthodox. Remember, the Eastern Orthodox churches, the Armenian is one of the oldest. How many of you have ever heard of the Armenian pogrom or the Armenian? I know our history teacher has. Armenian. How many of you have ever heard of it? You need to hear of it. You need to hear about it. In a book back here in this office written by Sir Robert Anderson, The Silence of God, he makes specific reference to the Armenian Holocaust. And so what happened, preacher? The Armenian people, as I say, are Eastern Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox. But they had a great group of Muslims in their country. And when the Ottoman Empire began to move, hostilities broke out. The very neighbors, the next door neighbors, the peace-loving Muslims. Now listen to me. This is important. The next door neighbor, peace-loving Muslim, turned on the Orthodox Armenian and cut their throat in the street. Murdered them. Wiped out practically an entire population. To this very day, Turkey will not admit that a Holocaust took place on the Armenian Orthodox people back then. Now, this may be the first time you've ever heard this. Go check me out. I beg you, go check me out and see if what I'm saying is true. Don't ever mess up a good argument with the facts. You know, always make sure the argument's based on emotion, feeling, you know, what somebody looks like, where I am. Don't ever bother with the facts. The facts have a bad way of getting in the way, don't they? So what does that say to you? That says this, that a Muslim will turn on a Muslim in a heartbeat and cut their throat if they don't submit to whatever's going on, to whatever movement's going on, to whatever authority's been handed down. They'll turn on each other in a heartbeat and they'll turn on you in a heartbeat. That's what it means. That's what it means. That's exactly what it means. And political correctness will get you killed. It'll get you killed. So what's going to happen, preacher? The Lord's going to come back. That's what's going to happen. He's going to come back. But now, if you want the broader picture, if you want the broader picture, I suspect in my soul, the broader picture is that the ruling elite, as I've told you before, the ruling elite are Caucasian. The ruling elite trace their roots all the way back to the Rothschilds and before. The ruling elite have an enormous, unbelievable amount of wealth at their disposal. They've been at this for a long time. They in Georgia, there's what's called a Georgia stone. What's that stone in Georgia? What's that stone called? Guidestone. In Georgia, there's a guidestone. Nobody knows who put it up. They make any connections with it, but on that stone it says this: the population of the earth must be reduced to 500,000. I believe that's what it said. Now that's a long way from about 6 billion. Isn't that what we've got now? 6 billion, something like that? 6,000 million? We've got to reduce it down to 500,000? The ruling elite, it's like a chess game. They pit one against another, finance both sides, because they have a long goal off in the distance. And, for example, who financed Hitler when he started in Germany? Think about it. Go back and check it out. You'd be amazed. Because Germany, at the Treaty of Versailles, in when was it they signed it? 1918, 1919, whenever it was. When Germany signed the Treaty of Versailles, they essentially handed everything they had over to the Allies. They couldn't even raise an army. They were bankrupt. They came back to Germany. They had nothing. But all of a sudden, when Hitler comes up, the National Socialist Party, all of a sudden, he has all this backing. It takes money to build equipment. It takes money to raise armies. Did you know that Hitler sent something like 2 million troops into Russia in Operation Barbarossa? 2 million troops. He had a standing army of 5 or 6 million. It takes a lot of money to support armies like that. A lot of money. Where did that money come from? For example, ask yourself this question. These murderers up there in Boston, one of them was admitted to one of the most prestigious schools in the country. They were living a comfortable life. Where'd that money come from? Where'd it come from? When you get into the money, find out where the money's coming from, you'll find out what's going on. These people, the ruling elite, intend to rule over this world, and they will do whatever they need to do to pit one against another in whatever clash they need to put them in, whatever war they need to create, until they rise up supreme over all mankind. And that's what they intend to do. And they'll have a one world government and a one world religion, and their one world religion will be Luciferian. They will turn against organized Christianity. They'll turn against the whole mess, and the Antichrist will stand up professing to be God. And that's exactly what they've got in mind. And they've been at it for a long time, and they know what they're doing. They've infiltrated every country, and it's going to happen just as surely as you hear me. It's going to come surely as you live. Yes, sir.
I was reading a story this week. The Arabs, they can't beat the Jews. So they're actually penetrating the country with young, handsome men marrying into Jewish women. And the Muslims and the women will marry this Muslim. And they actually have these little groups going around looking for women actually dating Arabs and Muslims. You know, I mean, it's getting to be in the drastic. They can't beat them in battle. So they're marrying into them. I was just reading them a story.
Yeah, yes, they any tactic that they can use.
Yeah, and they're actually going, and the women are just like, oh, I love them, and look, once she becomes a Muslim, you know, that's it.
You talked a while back about the White Brotherhood.
The White Brotherhood. The White Aryan Brotherhood.
I researched that some and saw some videos. And I can't think of the guy's name. It's like a guru or something. It was some kind of New Age avatar. And he's real big on the White Brotherhood. He's supposed to be real high up. And all of these guys who are trying to rule the world are anything but Jews. They're from every nation in the earth except Israel.
Well, that gets you back to the Jew who's willing to go over there and die for his faith.
Yeah.
Judaism is classified in two categories: religious Jews and ethnic Jews. Those that are born with Jewish blood and those who practice Judaism. There are Jews all over this country here right now that are atheists. Does it make any sense? An atheistic Jew? That makes... Yes, ma'am.
The shadows of power, they are the financial people. They're the ones that rule the world, because whoever has the money rules what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't remember who said it, but his quote was essentially this. He says, I care not who the president is or the prime minister. He said, it makes a difference to me who leads the country. He said, who's got the money? And that's the one. Yes, sir.
Last night they were coming out with some news that they were trying to verify. on the father saying that it looked like the father might have supplied Tamerlan, the older brother, with a lot of the equipment that he brought back here was making his IED, the IED explosive.
Well, you can look in the next few days and the next few weeks for the FBI to come under a lot of criticism, enormous scrutiny, because they dropped the ball, and the FBI is going to they're really going to be under a lot of. It's not the FBI of J. Edgar Hoover, that's for certain. But in any event, I can't second guess the FBI. But the bottom line is that when Barack Obama stood up and essentially said, we've killed Osama bin Laden, you know, Al-Qaeda, we've cut the head off, and implied that organized terrorism was is null and void anymore, that was completely a political move. It had nothing to do with reality. So, yes, sir. Well, there's a lot of stuff out there right now about all of the things that don't make sense about it, about what happened. How could a teenager shut down a city of 4-point-something million people? A teenager shut down a city of 4-point-something million, called in the Army Guard, Army National Guard, all that. Deval Patrick,
no flat zone.
Governor of Massachusetts, no flat zone.
Yeah, they couldn't fly over.
Yeah. That was under an altitude of such and such, right? The federal airway was still open at 30,000.
Over that whole area was no flat zone except for when they brought in the military.
Did they shut down the federal airway up at 30,000?
I don't know how far it was. I just know that.
Just under a certain altitude.
Except for the helicopters, that was the sheriff helicopter and the military helicopter was the only thing allowed in that area.
The governor of Massachusetts recently went to the mosque of one of the most radical imams, or whatever they call their teachers in the mosque, in the state, and received a check for $50,000 to begin training to allow Muslims to train the police on how to deal with the cultural difference between the two. They want to have special treatment. I saw a video of him in the mosque receiving the check with the man who is calling the Muslims to pick up, don't be afraid, pick up the shovel, pick up the sword, pick up the gun, don't be afraid to do your job, go out and do what you have to do. And the governor's rubbing elbows with him like their best buddy.
That's astounding. When that officer raises his hand and takes an oath to, you know, support the Constitution and the laws of the city or state or, you know, whatever top law officer he is, that's irrespective of race, religion, or whatever. I mean, you don't want a police force or any kind of a law enforcement to differentiate between a Muslim or a Christian, do you? Would you want that?
No.
Or a Jew? No difference. All under the law, equal under the law? Yes, sir. Oh, the what now? Oh, in Benghazi, yeah. No, it's not going to Republicans. You can believe that. The senator from South Carolina is not going to let that die. No. Hillary Clinton said, can't we just move on past that now and and take care of this next election when I'm running for president? She didn't put that part in, but that's what she meant. Yeah, but I mean, he called for help. He called for assistance. The military could have been there. Good night, man. They can scramble jets. They could have been there in no time and helped him and those men in there. But they didn't do it.
And it's something how that's what happened in Texas was a lot worse.
explosion and what happened at the hospital.
In the number of people, yes.
All the media's on the hospital.
Yeah. But, yeah, true. But the motivation is the difference, see. That's why it was so different, because it's an act of terrorism. Yes, sir.
And let's end all this terrorism and mark everybody so we'll know everybody.
Well, no, that's what it's coming to. It's coming to your safety. They've been running surveys now in the school system. I saw one yesterday where the kid was given this survey by their teacher. Don't you feel like you would be much safer if you could give up some of your constitutional liberties so you could be safe? See where it's headed? It's like Dianne Feinstein back in the 1990s when she said, if it was left up to me, I'd take every gun away from in this country. And when this happened up there in Newtown, Connecticut, she had the bill already drawn up. She just pulled it out of the drawer. Did you get that? She was waiting for an opportunity to pounce on it with her restrictive gun laws. She didn't get what she wanted. And of course, it was all voted down in the Senate. And the reason it's voted down in the Senate is because Barack Obama is a lame duck. Believe me, his own... When you see a Democrat president with Democrat senators turning against a Democrat president, they got their mind on one thing, 2016, the next election. Those Democrat senators know that the majority of the people in this country do not want their Second Amendment rights affected. Only 4%, folks, and this is the latest survey I've seen, only 4% of Americans, now that's pretty small, 4% of Americans feel like gun control is a major issue. Now, I had a pot party yesterday out in Colorado. You all hear about that? Somebody came in there and started shooting the thing up. Yeah. It's like the NRA says, though, the best thing you can do when you got a bad man with a gun is to have a good man with a gun.
Yeah. Right.
That's pretty good. And when they came out, when LaPierre came out right after Newtown and said, what you need to do is to put armed guards in these schoolhouses to protect these children. All the news media went ballistic. Oh, they went wild and screaming mad. Now they're talking about doing it. A long time. If you ever go to Israel, the first thing you're going to be shocked to death to see is see men and women walking up and down the street with machine guns hanging on their shoulders. Well, they're really not. They're semi-automatic. Yes.
There was actually a bill passed yesterday that the Privacy Act for Google, Facebook, and Twitter, to where they can actually access your information without your knowledge. So basically, any privacy is really gone. And after the bombing, they've actually put more surveillance cameras and everything up. So they're attacking more and more of your privacy.
There you go. Big Brother's taking another step. Which immediately screams this, all right? Now, what this young man right here brought out, it immediately brings up this issue, false flag, something created so that they can push their agenda. See, a false flag is something that happens, but it's not as it appears. There's a greater motivation behind it, and there's agenda involved in it. That's what's going on. False flag. See what I mean? Right, but it even goes further than that. A false flag is something that a greater power is behind. You see, they're pushing it to get it done. Then once it's done, they use it to further their agenda. That's what a false flag is. You wouldn't believe how many generals, retired generals, senators, people that you wouldn't believe that do not believe the official story of 9/11. They don't believe it. Yes, sir.
That was a time of martial law.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they went from door to door, house to house, room to room, searching.
Yes, sir.
Tell me what else they found.
Yeah, what else did they find, and how, and what kind of training did they get?
Well, I wonder what else they found to, people up there have weapons.
Oh, I see what you mean by that.
You know, people have...
Yeah, in other words, a survey.
they went in there and they used that situation to invade their privacy.
Yeah. And those poor people, somebody came out and said it well, though. I don't know who it was. But somebody said, boy, don't you wish you could have a gun about this time?
Yeah.
There's people locked up in their houses, they're scared to death to look out their window. That would be a good time to have Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson or Mr. Colt or Mr. Winchester. Mr. Ruger? Rightfully so, because the house was booby-trapped out there at Colorado. That guy that went in there and shot up that theater, wasn't his place booby-trapped?
Yeah.
I think it was. But the thing is, I've lost my chain of thought. It was when they... I've lost it. I don't know, forgot what I was going to... Yes.
Lord's coming back.
Yes, sir, brother. Lord's coming back. Yes, sir.
Scripture.
Well, sure he is.
He's the one behind all of it. Either it's good or bad, but we ought to be happy things are moving the way they are.
And they're moving quickly.
He's moving these little chestnuts.
Yes, sir.
He knows whoever he wants, either good or evil, to do.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. None of us lost on him. Yes, sir.
I never thought I'd hear a man like Mark Twain quoted in this church, but he said, if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. And if you read the newspaper, you're misinformed.
That sounds like Mark Twain. Oh, boy. That sounds like him. Yeah. All right. Well, we've run out of time.
The law says if you read it, it's history. If you hear it, it's news.
Yeah. Okay, we're running out of time. Let's have word and we'll let you go. God bless you. Brother Roger Lee, this is...